The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Strong Female Characters. I'm Cher.
And I'm Courtney.
So I saw Into the Spider-Verse last night.
I still haven't seen it. Please tell me how much you loved it.
All right. It's amazing. It's probably the greatest superhero movie I've ever seen. The animation is absolutely breathtaking and gorgeous. You literally feel like you are inside of a comic book the entire time. And I love that this is far and away like the most inclusive superhero story that you've ever seen on the big screen. But just like walking out of that movie, like I was so in awe at the creativity of it, that what went into even like coming up with the visuals and like how they did the animation. And also the story, I mean, so well written. It's just such a great, it's so magnificent that I literally walked out of that movie and felt so creatively inspired from seeing it.
I want to see it so bad. And I want to take my six-year-old, Jules, and my concern is that if she gets bored, I'm going to be like, hey, shut up. This isn't about you. Mommy wants to stay for the movie.
Yeah, I don't think you should take her because there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And I think she's not going to be able to keep up with it because there is a lot happening.
Yeah.
And I think that, to be honest with you, I think she's going to be annoying for you. Like, I think you just need to go see it.
But that's so
you
can what actually... children are, Cher.
No, I know. That's why I don't have any. I have nieces, and I get to give them back. Mm-hmm. But no, like, I think you need to go see it on your own. And then if you want to take her to see it afterwards, mm-hmm. then fine. But, like, I think for you to actually really enjoy this movie, you can't go with a kid that young.
I'm going to take myself on a date.
I think you should.
To the boozy theater. The theater with the booze.
You're going to have to put out, though.
I mean, I always do. Hey,
put on pump. So let's talk about some Kaizen stories. What would you do if I just spent the entire episode talking like that?
What if that was just like, start with a caca?
What if that was just my voice? Like, oh, what would you do? Like, meeting me and knowing me and seeing what I look like, and then I open my mouth and I sound like this?
I think that is definitely the voice that I should deliver this particular story in because it's rage-inducing. But if I say it in that voice, you're more distracted by the voice than the horrors of society.
So go on. That was a great way to sell this. Go on.
Go on, please. It was announced last week that John Lasseter, co-founder of Pixar and former Disney animation head, has been hired to run Skydance Animation. David Ellison, the founder of Skydance, and apparently he's like 36 years old, and he is a co-star of the movie Flyboys starring James Franco. And there's a lot going on with good old Davey here. He said an investigation was launched into Lasseter's background before hiring him. And if there's anything we've learned over the last few years, it's that these internal investigations performed specifically bullshit to keep abusive men in powerful roles are designed to do just that. It's like when Donald Trump says he's going to sue someone. At a certain point, it's just words that mean nothing.
Well, that's to be fair, you could apply that to 98% of the shit that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth. But go on.
In a statement, Ellison said, "While we would never minimize anyone's subjective views on behavior, we are confident after many substantive conversations with John and the investigation has affirmed that his mistakes have been recognized." Thanks, investigation. He went on, "We are certain that John has learned valuable lessons and is ready to prove his capabilities as a leader and a colleague. And he has given his assurance that he will comport himself in a wholly professional manner that is the expectation of every Skydance colleague and partner." So, he did it. Good job, man.
Mm,
Here's the thing that boggles my mind. According to Variety, Skydance went to Time's Up, ostensibly to get their blessing for this hiring. Back in November, Skydance approached Time's Up through an intermediary in order to discuss, quote, what rehabilitation would look like for a figure accused of abusing his power. Time's Up saw through that fuckery, believing Skydance was looking for the movement's support in Lasseter's hiring. Because of course they were.
Of course.
They were like, this is Time's Up approved, so it's just fine.
Yeah.
Because they have been paying attention to what Time's Up is all about. And they're like, oh, this is the president of sex abuse and they will forgive people. That's what they're doing, right? Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. We are men. Now, I'm really focused on the November thing because it was November 2017 that Lasseter took a hiatus due to his missteps. And we learned that Lasseter would be stepping down from his position at the end of 2018. We learned that in June. So not only were there only a few months in between him being outed of his position as an, you know, out abusive asshole, but there's also zero downtime in between the positions. So yet again, this idea that men's lives are being ruined or even that they require actual rehabilitation is such bullshit. They just go back to their jobs and everything's fine. Reportedly, Skydance held several town meetings for female employees wherein Ellison asked for their time and patience and the chance for Lasseter to prove himself and show his reformed behavior because abusers will be coddled and given chance after chance even after ruining multiple women's careers before they could even begin. Will no one think of the men? The thing is, the problem is just people aren't really thinking about the men.
And the thing that sucks is that, like, abuse aside, it's still, you know, animation is still a predominantly male industry, you know, so it's already hard enough for women to, like, get their foot in the door because there's such a, you know, the ratio of female to male. And that's, you know, female to male. Like, never mind if you're, you know, non-binary. I mean, it's like, it's already stacked. The chips are stacked in their favor as is. Disheartening and it's infuriating. So now let's go to another story. Another kind of story. This is my favorite.
Let's go boldly into this story.
Oh, let's go. So Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger are engaged. And I don't even know where to start. So Chris Pratt, a.k.a. the undisputable worst Chris, sorry, not sorry, it's true, deal with it, announced he's marrying the Arnold's daughter, and from the sound of this engagement announcement, possibly starting their own Jesus Army to rival the Duggars. Duggars or is it Duggars?
It's straight up Duggars.
It's Duggars. There is a lot to unpack here. So first of all, that photo choice kind of like weirds me out.
His like eyes are closed, but not in like a sweet way, in like a weird like...
Like he's constipated type of way, to be honest with
you. He's passing something.
And then she's just like pressing her face against his. I don't know. It's weird. It's creepy. And I feel like we're soon going to be introduced to the phase of Pratt's career where he starts making like these really weird, deeply religious blockbusters a la Travolta and Battlefield Earth, which I know is not the same thing, but it's kind of the same because it's like they're both kind of culty. And I can totally see Pratt starring in like a big budget film about like any pastor from Hillsong Church.
Well, we need to read the caption. Sweet Catherine, so happy you said yes. I'm thrilled to be marrying you. Proud
can
to
we hit
live.
Pause?
Yes.
So, first of all, Sweet Catherine,
Sweet Catherine
is like, I personally, maybe this is just me, I think that is the most, there's nothing romantic about that.
No.
Like, I don't want to
it's kind of
infantilizing. Have sex with somebody who's, yeah. It's also kind of patronizing.
Sweet Catherine. Bow, bow,
bow. But he's not even from Massachusetts, so he's like, what's his heart on? He couldn't even use that song, but
nope.
Go on. The living boldly.
Yeah, we got, okay,
really
yeah.
The kicker here.
I'm thrilled to be marrying you. Proud to live boldly in faith with you. Here we go. Ring emoji, prayer hands emoji, heart emoji.
Like, how many times, like, listen, let me just disclaimer this. I don't care what anybody believes. I really don't. I think it's I think all of it's ridiculous.
I'm real, real happy for you if you have your faith.
Listen,
in
if
it.
Jesus is right, if Jesus is your homeboy, cool.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. However.
That's your journey. I feel like it's a very specific thing. Like, we're getting married and the focus is on the faith part.
Yes. And I feel this is very like, you know how some actors when after their prime in their careers, they end up on Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to end up on a TLC documentary.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be something really weird and random. Also, I have a theory that he is going to become, like, he's going to end up being the Chris that gets into politics.
Oh, 100%.
And not for the same team that
100%. He's running.
Yeah, like, he's, like, going to be, like, MAGA's first couple.
He's going to run for mayor of Jesus.
Well, he's 1,000% going to, like, Arnold is going to live vicariously through Chris Pratt because Arnold could never run for president because he wasn't born here. So I think he's going to, like, take him under his wing. And he's going to become, like, the Terminator 2.
Oh, my God.
For the Republican Party.
Live boldly in faith. I can't leave this. Because it's so important.
It sounds to me like they pray before sex.
It sounds like someone who's never having an orgasm, girl. I'm sorry your life. But
like it sounds like they're gonna call each other mother and father.
Oh my God, yes.
Like, when they're in their
Why, God, why? But 100%, it's like if they made a like religious off-brand RC Cola Star Trek movie, like Live Boldly in Faith would be its tagline.
Yeah. Speaking of, it's so like synergy here, did not even plan this, but when I went to go see Into the Spider-Verse, there was a trailer for like, this is definitely like a Bible Thumper movie. Like, I guess they're trying to make it like this big, because that's like a thing that I noticed lately, that there's a lot of like super religious movie mm-hmm. trailers just showing up before blockbusters. And it's called, what was it called? The Overcomer. That's it. Not the, just Overcomer, which is such a horrible name.
The Overcomer.
Unless, not even the, it's just Overcomer, which sounds like a great
porn
name.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's a lot of undercomers in this.
Right. Yeah. So Overcomer, but there is no joke, at least like a 15-second supercut of people just making these angsty, determined faces with zero context. And it just looks like everyone's incredibly fucking stressed out in this movie. And it's, I think they're, like, purposely trying to, like, force the imagery of, like, white, black, young, old, Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. It's just so weird. And I just feel like Chris Pratt could very much end up, like, being in one of those movies one
100%.
Day.
I bet he's, you know what, before he starts running, he's going to start his own production company where they just make shitty Bible-y movies.
Like, I loved Andy Dwyer. I absolutely, and it's so weird to me because Pratt used to be, like, a stoner surfer. Like, when he, like, first started out in his career. And he was, I guess he was on, like, the OC or something. One Tree Hill. He was on one of those shows. I don't know.
He
was, like, a stoner surfer that lived out of his van, like, at the beginning of his career. And then he didn't become this, like, a Jesus freak until, I guess his and Anna's son was born, either like was born with a heart.
He was premature
issue.
And yeah.
They were like, he was like really sick. Right. And they thought he like wasn't going to make it. And then Chris Pratt started like praying a lot. And that's when he became super, super uber religious, was through that experience. And then like, for me, I was like, oh, you're not really Andy Dwyer in any way, shape or form, was when like I saw him posting that they erect a life size crucifix on Easter, like he does this, and I think it's like it's a bit a lot for
it's so
me
and it's
probably
so
a lot of people. But I heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that he voted for Trump.
Oh, least
and I
surprising
it,
news, ever.
Which to me is so weird because it's like he's friends with Chris Evans, or they were friends or friendly, and like. Chris Evans is like captain, like Democrat.
I wonder if they have like rules on set. But it's like, here's the
like,
thing. There's
I
like,
want, yeah.
It's like privileged white dudes. So like, you know that like Chris Pratt is the exact kind of guy that's just like, you know what? We've got our differences, but we're really all the same. And
yeah,
also,
but
I'm
I don't
right.
think Evans, but yeah, but I don't think Evans is like that because like his uncle was a Democratic congressman for like a long time.
Yeah.
Like his uncle, I think, just recently lost his bid for re-election to someone even more progressive than his uncle, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's grew up in a very, like he's New England Democrat, which is like fucking the bastion of liberalism.
We've all had those shitty coworkers that we have to just deal with though. So I feel like that's
just
that's
so bizarre.
And the thing is, like, Anna Faris does not seem like that. I have lots of theories that she kind of, like, had to take a lot of the fall for various, like, fuckeries in their marriage, like the dog stuff. Like, the more, like, more time has gone by,
I'm just like. Yeah, that's the other reason I was not keen on them, is because I heard about, like, they're super irresponsible pet owners. And it's, like, not just the dog. It was, like, a dog and cats and, like, whatever. I mean, I'm being so judgmental right now.
I mean, like.
But I do, I absolutely, 100%, I do judge people based on, and first of all, we all judge people. I judge people on what kind of pet owners they are, 1,000%. Like, if I find out someone is a really shitty, irresponsible pet owner or does not like animals, then, like, I peace out. Like, no. And I do, when anyone is too hardcore into anything, especially religion, mm-hmm. but anything, it kind of, that just for some reason is
it
like a.
It hits me in the skeeve. It hits me real hard in the skeeve.
It's a little bit of a red flag for me.
Also, I feel like he's the human version of the Ben Folds song, Not the Same, where it's like in the beginning of the song, he's a stoner who takes an acid trip, but then he, you know, climbs a tree. When he comes down from the tree, he's super Jesus-y. That's the Chris Pratt story.
Is it a tree or is it the Joshua tree?
I mean, Benny Fofo does not specify, but it could be.
Benny Fofo. Ben Folds is married to Laura Dern.
No, that's Ben Harper.
Oh, I lied.
JK Lowell. I was like, Ben Folds has been married to almost everyone, but not Laura Dern.
I don't know who Ben Folds is. I mean, I know of him, but if you're standing in front of me, I have no idea. And that note, we don't have a guest this week, which is totally cool and fine, because we're going to do something different.
We're each other's guests.
You're my guest.
Be our guest.
We're gonna try out a couple new segments. Not really a segment.
You know what? Anything can be anything we want.
Okay.
This is our show. No rules. So we like to do some theme months around the sci-fi fangirls parts. And this month we have ordained as the month of the goat, because January is Capricorn month. And Capricorns are goats.
They're goats.
And then goat also means, obviously, greatest of all time. So we are celebrating our favorite goats of sci-fi. And we do mean the greatest of all time. But, you know, we'll stop right now and celebrate Black Phillip. Like, I think he's a really good goat. You go, Black Phillip.
I know Carly loves Black
Phillip. We all love Black Phillip around here. We stand an icon.
Yeah, clearly. All right, so we're going to do two today, right?
We're going to talk about some of our favorite goats of sci-fi and genre. And we're going to have, if you go to Sci-Fi Fangirls, as you should be at all times, but we're going to have a bunch of lists and posts coming out over the rest of the month with various goats. So we're going to have, like, greatest women of Marvel, greatest women of DC, like, all of these, like, really cool posts. But we're going to just do our own today, because we run this show. Who run the world?
We do.
Who run the world? Goats.
Goats do.
So who is your greatest female sci-fi hero of all time, Miss Sherry?
So female sci-fi hero, meaning, like, not a superhero. It has to be in science fiction, fantasy, horror.
I would say, yeah. Right?
No, just science fiction, fantasy, not horror.
I mean, like, if it's a sci-fi horror, Alien kind of falls in that.
My greatest female sci-fi hero of all time, I mean, Leia.
I mean, yeah.
I know that's so, it's such a cop-out, I'm sure.
It's not a cop-out really, when it's true, though. Like,
I
there's
know,
a reason.
It really, like, I've never in my life, still to this day, I've never had a character that just the sight of that character, like, I get this feeling just, I'm like, oh my God, like, I love Princess Leia so much. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's Leia.
I mean, it's got to be Leia.
It really is. I don't know how it's not Leia. I think the only way it could not be Leia for people is if they're, like, just – if, like, their Star Wars is primarily, like, the new Star Wars. Like, I think, like, little girls now, mm-hmm. they would say Rey when they get older.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it, too, because it's, like, Princess Leia was, like, the first girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well – her and Miss Piggy.
You know what? Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. Miss Piggy is like my top three of everything is Wonder Woman, Leia, and Miss Piggy.
I mean, pigs in space. I think that there's a really good argument to be made. Miss Piggy is the greatest female sci-fi Absolutely. Hero of all time.
I know. First of all, pigs in space should have its own show.
Yes,
it like, should. I don't know why it doesn't. And I really want to, like, call up, like, Jim Henson and, well, Brian Henson and be like, hi, let's make a pigs in space show.
Please and thanks.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I want yeah. in life. But I think Disney owns the Muppets now, so I'd actually have to call Disney.
Yeah. You're going to need to make several calls.
I don't think I have a direct line to anybody out there. But yeah, Leia, who's your greatest female sci-fi hero?
Well, I'm going to have a theme for this one and the next one. Cause the answer is Buffy. Buffy is always my answer for everything. I love that show so, so much. And Buffy Summers is goddamn hero and perfection. And I love her so much. Now, it should be noted, as much as I do love the OG Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie, Christy Swanson has lost privileges. So I am referring to Sarah Michelle Gellar and no one else.
From somebody that's literally gotten into a Twitter fight with her.
Oh my God.
Hard agree.
Yeah.
Hard agree. And she started it.
Oh, she started. Chris. She's definitely going to star in one of Chris Pratt's movies in his production company.
Oh my God. Completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's going to play his mom.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like a modern day allegory, like story about like Jesus and Mary. But her name will still, her name will be like Marianne or something.
Oh, yeah.
And like his name will be like Jim. Oh my God. You know, it's so true though. This is happening.
Big Jim and Jesus.
Joke about it, and somebody's gonna like actually write a script, and then like we're gonna get story by credits.
Yes,
it's gonna be the best and worst.
We're gonna donate all of our checks to like abortion rights. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so our greatest OTP. I mean, we're very much in it. We're both kind of in a trend, and I think actually, interesting enough, I think this is why. Our greatest sci-fi, female sci-fi hero, I think that's also why our greatest OTPs are what they
yes,
are.
Yes, because a true iconic hero can only be matched with someone deserving of her.
What? That's not true in my case.
I mean, well, yeah. But she's also better than him. And both of ours, like, the female is superior.
Completely.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, so my greatest one true pair, my probably only one true pair is Han and Leia.
You're
so like, well, no, you witnessed me.
So I'm going to tell this story. I want everyone to know it must have been after maybe EC3.
EC3. Yeah.
Cher and I are in the airport. Cher buys the, what book is it?
Annual.
Yeah. It's
Star Wars Annual number
Star
one.
Wars Annual. She's literally just flipping through looking for pictures of Han and Leia, like, having
together.
Like flirtation. It was like watching Cher watch porn, essentially.
But there's also, I think it's in that one, because there I saw it by accident, and this is when I was like dying and I found it. It was like the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. First of all, the illustration in this run, it looks like the characters in the movie. So like in the original series. Or trilogy. And there's a panel where Han got shot or something. So he's changing his shirt. So his shirt's off. And it's just like, we get shirtless Harrison Ford. Granted, it's an illustration.
But it's
drawing.
Fine.
It's so
fine. And Leia is into it. And Cher was
and it's like
into
this,
it.
Oh my God. So into it. Because like the banter and the sexual tension between them plays out like completely, because it's like all the shit that's happening but between A New Hope and, you know, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I was like, I am watching my boss get straight up turned on right now. And it's, you know what? Mazel.
But I was also very childlike in my excitement for it.
Yes.
Because I love that original trilogy so much that I get really happy.
Yeah, it was a combination of like happy, horny, and really tired from the con. So it's just like this perfect storm of just like Cher's happy place. My OTP, and please don't at me, I don't care about your Spike opinions. Mine is Buffy and Angel. And they loved each other so much. And And I still, to this day, I will never be able to listen to Sarah McLachlan, Full of Grace, without fully sobbing myself into convulsions. I loved them. I loved how passionate they were for each other. I loved their, like, you know, the bits that kept them apart. I love just the devastation. I love all of it. And I love that in the end, she literally just told him, like, I'm cookie dough. I'm not ready for whatever it is we might be later. Like, I need to just live my own life. And it's just like, yes.
Did she literally say she was cookie dough?
She said, I'm cookie dough. I'm like, Then they can be together when she's cookies.
Oh, that's both nauseating and cute at the same time.
I love it so much.
That's like your favorite moment?
It's not my favorite moment, but it's like, because it was like in the series finale, it just made me so, it was such a way to end. Because like, I think a lesser show would have been like, well, obviously we're getting these two together. Like, that's how we're going to end it. Like, their love journey starts. But they can't have that. Those two are never going to have that. That's why they're kind of like tragic and beautiful. But like, she basically, it wasn't even like, we can't be together and I'm so sad. It was just like, you know what? I don't want this right now.
The thing I love so much about Han and Leia is that she's so much better than him and he knows it. Mm-hmm. And he like loves that she's a badass.
Yes.
Like, I just think it's amazing. I think every guy should treat their woman like, especially if she's, you know, kicking ass and like unapologetic and a boss at her job. They should be willing to, you know, just back up her run, you know?
I don't know how I'm just now realizing this, but I think that all of my, like, interest in men has been shaped by Han and Leia because I love a man who, like, adores me and admires me, but will also relentlessly make fun of me.
Yeah.
I, like, that's my 100% type.
Yeah, that's your entire dynamic. Like,
I kind of love a man I hate.
Absolutely. Like, if a guy busts, like, I could sit there and be like, oh my God, it's so sweet the way a guy. No, if he, like, is kind of busting my balls a little bit, like, being a little bit, like, teasing me, I kind of, like, secretly like that.
Boom. But I'll act like I don't. There go my pants. Sorry about it. You're making fun of me again. That's apparently my thing.
Yeah.
Tease
me, but also at the same time, know when to be, like, super supportive.
Yeah.
Because Han was very supportive.
He was, yeah. Like, baby Harrison Ford is probably the most perfect, like, example of this, like, this just,
Although I do love in The Force Awakens when she says, you know, I always hated watching you leave. And he was like, that's why I always did it. Mm-hmm. Like, I love it because it's like, still that, oh, God, they're so perfect. All right. Are we going to, like, test out our next new segment?
Let's do some testing.
Let's do it. I'm so fucking excited for this because it's going to be, I feel like this could be great in bananas.
I love bananas.
So we're calling this Reboot, Remake, Ruin. So the way it works is we're going to bring certain franchises up for debate and we're going to debate whether they should be rebooted, meaning, you know, bring them back with the original cast or the original story and expand on that original story, right? That's a reboot. Mm-hmm. Remake is completely new cast, telling the story now from like a new, with new people.
Right.
And Ruin is like, kill it. Just kill
either
it.
Because it's good or bad. Like,
right. Like, kill
this
it.
Is
like,
too good
either,
to be messed with or.
Right. And it'll be ruined or just kill it completely.
Leave it in the trash where it belongs.
Right. That's what it is. So, what is our first?
Well, so in honor of the return of Roswell, which comes back at, you know, the night that you're, like, possibly hearing this, like, Roswell's back, guys. Yay. Yay for everyone. So in honor of the return of Roswell, which is, it's back, y'all. It is back from outer space. We want to look back at some of the other shows of the glorious Halcyon days of the UPN, WV universe, and that would become the CW, and examine what else should be rebooted or remade, and what shows should just be ruined forever and stay in obscurity. Because, spoiler, lots of these, real obscure. Real, real obscure.
Like, I didn't even know pretty much any of these existed. Oh.
We're gonna have a jolly old time.
To be fair, though, the dates on a lot of these line up with the time in my life when I was going out clubbing. So there's a lot of stuff
they didn't play UPN in the club.
Yeah, that wasn't happening.
Let's start with an easy one though. Angel. Because Buffy is getting a reboot. Should Angel?
So I do know of Angel. Mm-hmm. I remember Angel would be on, well, the reruns would be on when I was working at 24 Hour Fitness, the Derek Jeter Super Club, when it was his club. And I'd go in the locker room, and it would always be on in the middle of the day. So, but the best is that, like, there was always this one member at the gym that would come, because it was, like, during, like, dead time in the middle of the day, and she would just sit in the locker room and, like, watch it. So I would come in, and then I would find myself, like, sometimes, you know, when you, like, something's on and you catch it, like, peripherally, yeah. And then you're like, wait, what? And then next thing you know, you're standing there for 10 minutes, like, having watched mm-hmm. half the episode. So I'm aware of Angel. And it seemed like it was a little batshit bananas.
What 100% was. It really okay. is the strangest show.
So I'm going to say it should absolutely come back just for that reason. Just from the little, like, moments of flashback that are happening right now for me. I don't know in context at all what the show was about. I know the idea, like, Angel was
he's
demon,
yeah,
right?
He's a vampire. He's a vampire with a soul.
He's like a vampire demon, though, he's right? Like, well, not like a straight vampire.
He's got a soul, and then when he loses his soul, he goes, like, full-on demon. But he starts a, like, an investigative, like, private eye business where he, like, snuffs out demons and hellspawns. Amazing.
This is so good. How could you not bring this
like
back?
And he and Cordelia, who of course was like the popular, like, bitch girl on Buffy, they somehow end up together in a way that makes zero sense, but people are super for it because I question lots of people's OTPs. I'm just saying. And it's buck wild, banana pants, ridiculous. There's a law firm called Wolfram Hart, and it's the wolf, the ram, the heart.
Because, oh, my God.
Because it's a demon law firm.
What a time to be alive. Oh, my God.
I'm shooketh. Like, we live in a time where, like, this was television.
That existed in our lifetime.
This is a show that happened, and it was legit good. But it was also legit terrible sometimes. It was, like, the most mixed bag in the world.
Just based on that, my vote is to remake it. I think now with – because, you know, they'll give it a little bit of a budget. Nothing crazy because this is still CW. They'll get a better – slightly better budget than they probably had first time around. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think remake it.
I say reboot. Bring back everyone. Puffy David Boreanaz. Explain why this eternal vampire is older and puffier.
Explain vampire bloat.
Explain all the bloat. Bring back everyone and just pick it up where it left off.
Hasn't he, like, been arrested for drunken dickery, like, a few times? Or is that someone else
that's
that was
Nicholas
part of the Buffyverse?
Who was Xander.
Okay. It was somebody, yes.
All right, Xander's not allowed. Xander can't come back. I don't think Xander was ever on Angel. Maybe he was on, like, once or twice, but yeah.
But he was on Buffy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know why I know that, because I've never seen an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer in my life. That's how big that show was.
Yeah.
I know names of characters having never seen
What's funny, though, is, like, most of the cast of Buffy, actually, or not Buffy, Angel, still looks the same somehow. Like, they are all aging like fine wine, except for the one actual immortal person. And, like, they just, like, no one would comment on it. It would happen, like, during the show. Like, by the end of the show, he got Boreanaz'd.
He didn't look
like this young buff vampire. He got to because men with TV shows get to just, like, eat chili dogs and, like, hang out at craft services and get puffy, and they're still, like, male leads on their own show. A woman never could. Anyway,
well,
let's move on, though. So let's get into the obscure, because what I discovered browsing through the archives of the WB and UPN are some shows that I do not remember, but holy buckets. How about this show called Dead Last?
Yes.
It was, and I want everyone to just Google Dead Last TV show and look for this poster. Okay, so
this poster looks like, did you ever have to watch, oh my God, there were two shows that we had to watch in school for some reason. One of them was Voyage of the Mimi, which wasn't Ben Affleck in that show.
I think he was.
Yeah. And then there was Read All About It a show?
I don't know this show.
Hold on. Wait. This is so obscure. My God. I don't know how I remember this. Yes, read all about it. It was a TV series. It was a Canadian educational television series, which is just all you need
to know.
Thank
you, Canada, for all that you've given us.
And for some reason, we would have to watch it. Oh my God, wait, this might be something that we have to watch. So yeah, so like they're the first season. So two kids discover a coach house that's also a transporter, which allows teleportation from the galaxy.
Obviously. Of
Trial of Iron, which just based on that, we should have to do a deja vu.
I think obviously.
Anyway, read all about it. This looks like it would be a clip from like a Canadian educational television show, this poster.
Well, this poster for Dead Last. So the only like person whose name is like remotely recognizable, and even that's kind of like being generous, is Tyler Labine. And he looks like
who?
He's on stuff now. I don't know why I know him, but he's one of those people that like, I just happen to like know who he is, kind of. But he looks like on this poster, for one thing, he's wearing like a pleather jacket. And he's holding an amulet. He looks like if Jack Black from Circa, like, Saving Silverman was, doing a magic trick.
Oh, my God, he does. He looks like baby Jack Black.
He does. So I'm going to read the synopsis of this show. It only aired six episodes, by the way. It was not the breakout
already
smash.
A crime.
It followed a fictional band called The Problem, who find a magical amulet that allows them to see and talk to ghosts. Each episode featured the trio helping the ghosts that they encountered in order for the ghosts to move on to the next world, much to their annoyance.
Hold on. I have a question.
Yes.
First of all, was there a musical number in every episode?
I mean, there had to be. According to Wikipedia.
If there wasn't. Okay.
According to Wikipedia, much of the comedy was derived from this band trying really hard to make it.
So, okay, I think that it should be remade, mm-hmm. but only if there's a musical number in every episode a la Josie and the Pussycats.
I also think they need to keep that, like, 2001 early aughts aesthetic.
Yeah, they have to keep
they
that
They have to keep jacket. That, like, Jack, baby Jack Black goatee realness.
I don't even
realness.
Think it's pleather. I think that's just straight vinyl.
Yeah, like, that's... Yeah, yeah. Look at his, like, people Google this poster. His chin hair.
It's art.
Not even
it
a goatee.
Art.
It's like a landing strip.
It's a flavor
it's
saver.
It's a vagina chin.
Bald.
Like, it's a look.
Really.
It's a choice.
I mean, and this is like a specific, like, 90s, like, landing strip.
It looks like, yeah. He looks like he's in LFO. Like, he's a member of LFO that, like, didn't get to tour a lot.
Not even. He looks like he's in an off-brand boy band that, like, only was big in Germany.
EYC, perhaps.
Wait, that's a very deep cut because I actually know somebody that was in a boy band that was only big in Germany.
That's amazing. EYC opened for the Backstreet Boys once, and they used to just say their name a lot. EYC, Express, Yourself, Clearly. I remember this very vividly.
Clearly.
I saw the Backstreet Boys in concert three times. Don't worry about it.
The guy that I know that was in a boy band, mm-hmm. his boy band was called B3.
Why do I know that? I don't know.
Because they like were they for a hot minute they existed here, but then they really blew up in overseas, so they kind of stayed there. And their biggest hit was a cover of a Bee Gees song, "Thank You and Goodnight."
Oh my God!
And not even like a good Bee Gees song,
what
like
a
Bee Gees song that like wasn't even a good enough song for the Bee Gees to make a single.
Even the brothers Gibb are like, "What? What are you
right.
doing?"
They're like, "We didn't even like this song."
So all
right. So yeah, that's my decision. I think remake it because you really from this point can only go up. You only had six episodes.
So next up we've got Tarzan, which was on the WB in 2003.
I vaguely remember this show.
I vaguely don't. Let's read the synopsis.
I knew it existed, but I didn't watch it. But please read.
NYPD detective Jane Porter's ordinary life is disrupted when a routine case unexpectedly leads her to John Clayton, who prefers to be called Tarzan.
Oh, I did not know about this show.
After being proclaimed dead for 20 years, John Clayton was found in the jungles of Africa by his billionaire uncle Richard Clayton, who is the CEO of powerful Greystoke Industries. Held against his will at his uncle's home, Tarzan escapes and prowls all over the city, helping others in need. Upon meeting Jane, he begins to follow her from her home to crime scenes, simultaneously assisting her with police cases. It lasted 8 episodes.
I mean, real talk, this kind of sounds like an early treatment for Arrow. So.
I mean, like...
Come on. It kind of does. There's a lot of similarities.
I have so many questions. And my main question is, why do people keep trying to make Tarzan happen? Tarzan is some fat shit. It's never going to happen.
I know, but why do people keep trying to make King Arthur happen? Like, I don't understand that either. But this really does sound like Arrow.
I really, like...
Think about it. Oliver was Oliver was lost in like the jungle, and then ends up training with, you know, the League of Shadows or mm-hmm. whatever they're called in the show, because they're called something different in the show than they are in the movies and they are in the comics. There's too many names. And then, and they thought he was dead, and then he comes back, and he has a rich family. What's his dad? It's not his mm-hmm. uncle, who's the CEO of a company, and then he ends up prowling all over the city helping others in need. So we already have this show, is what I'm saying. Yeah. It's Arrow.
So Birds of Prey was a TV show in 2002-2003 on the WB. It featured Mia Sara from Ferris Bueller as Harley Quinn. And it had, look for this, like, fight scene, because it is, like, holy buckets. They did not bring their best and brightest to this particular program. But the series was set in New Gotham City several years after it had been abandoned by Batman. In his absence, Oracle and the Huntress have taken over his war on crime. They are joined by Dinah Redmond, a telepath, Alfred Pennyworth, who serves Helena as she is the heir to the Wayne estate, and Detective Jesse Reese, a police officer confronted with crimes and abilities he cannot explain.
So, all right, I know that, like, people really want it, but it's happening. So I feel like Birds of Prey is going to be happening. So that kind of answers that. To be honest with you, I never knew this show existed. And I think a lot of people didn't.
No one knew. No. Like, it was that weird time, though. I feel like 2002-ish was that kind of time where, like, there was a lot of, like, remember, like, Pam Anderson had a spy show. It was just, like, it was, like, a time for, like, really cheaply, badly made, like, sexy white women shows that, like, didn't really, like, they were not really putting in the effort.
Her show is, like, around for, like,
it was on for a really long time.
VIP. Like, yes. It was around for 4 years, which, to be honest, it's 4 years too long.
That's, yeah.
Did you know that Pam Anderson also had Stacked?
Oh, I don't wasn't know she, like, was. A librarian? She, like, owned a bookstore or something.
Yeah. Okay, we might have to revisit Pam. So Stripperella, I remember that existed. I didn't realize that became an actual cartoon. Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't last very long, but of course it was on Spike.
And we need to revisit the Pammy oeuvre.
I know.
Now talk about posters.
I think that was also a time when a lot of people forgot WB existed.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think they were, like, just looking at the shows, like, I was reminded of I don't remember if it was on WB or UPN, but both of these channels, like, there's a reason they became one, Spice Girl style. But they had titles like Shasta McNasty and that one show
really bad
where stuff. It was like a slave who becomes Abraham Lincoln. I don't remember what it was, but, like, they had some buck wild ass shows going on in this time period.
There was definitely. All right. So, I mean, that show's going to end up happening.
I mean, it's going to happen. So. And it deserves it. Like, let's do it right this time.
Exactly. 100%. It's going to become part of the, like, Berlanti-verse.
So. Yeah.
But let's talk about this, Jen.
So, okay. First, speaking of posters, for one thing, the cast names are in papyrus. And I feel like that's really important to talk about. This has got some font choices. This show is called Vampire High. It aired on Canada's YTV and the WB. It followed young vampires subjected to a daring experiment by the elders, taken in by a boarding school that also housed mortal teenagers with the intent of civilizing the vampires. Many problems faced the students both on the day and the night curriculum, including teen issues of love, friends, and enemies. Professor Murdoch was on hand to help them in their schoolwork, but he too had problems that could put the lives of the teens in mortal danger.
Just all I'm picturing right now is Saved by the Bell, but vampires.
I know, but vampires, though. But, like, they're also just having, like, normal teen issues, which I guess could, like.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that had to be the pitch.
Yeah.
Saved by the Bell, but make it vampires.
Yeah, but make it vampires, though. This, like, DVD art or poster, like, it looks like all of those books that, like, we read in grade school. It's like, my teacher is an alien. And it's very, like. And they're dying to meet you. Dawson's Creek meets Buffy in this frighteningly entertaining adventure, ..
Oh, my God. I wish I was in the room for this pitch meeting.
And she is wearing a snakeskin vest.
Of course she
is.
Oh,
my God.
And that's a pleather one.
That is straight up pleather. Actually, there were so many fabrics that couldn't breathe on the WB in the early aughts.
I mean, So here's my hot take. I think ruin, because how could you ever, you can't improve on perfection.
No, like ruin and just air this. Just air the
exactly.
show.
Just bring it back
Stream it.
Up.
Stream it yeah. hard.
I'm sure I need to know who this cast that, is. I've never heard of these
stars
people.
Stars no one and it features but like, nobody.
but they should be, like, throw them a bone. Let them make some money on residuals.
Yeah, give them something. Because literally, like, one of the stars of it, like, if you go to her Wikipedia page, it says she's most known for this show. And I was like, I don't know that she is. No tea, no shade. Mazel
oh my
to
God,
you. But, like,
this is so amazing.
Finally, most importantly of all, Brittany and Kevin Chaotic. It counts as genre because Brittany's my favorite superhero.
I mean,
bring it back.
This is a choice, man.
Yeah.
There were 25 episodes. Mm-hmm. There were 25 episodes of this.
Real good show.
He's in A Dog's Purpose, too, the guy that was in this. Mm-hmm. It's in a lot of movies with dogs in the title.
I'm not watching any of
that. That's a very specific niche.
Uh-huh. I feel like there's some bridging of the religious movies and the dog movies.
I love it. I think this is great. I think we should do remake Ruin more
Absolutely.
Often.
Yes, please.
So, yeah. So, on that note, let's, you know, I know we've been doing the useless mail of the week, but we decided this week. We took a group vote, okay, me and Courtney, because Preeti will be back next week. But we decided this week we were going to shout out our Shiro of the week. Da-da-da-da! Little segment.
She is eternally badass. She, like, is killing it every single day. And, like, we love her. We stan. However, in this particular moment, on January 11th,
We learn.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a fucking nerd.
A geek girl. She is one of us because she quoted Alan Moore, ye of Watchmen fame, in a tweet, and it was perfect. And the quote, none of you understand, I'm not locked up in here with you, you're locked up in here with me. And that was in reference to Politico running an article about how exasperated Democrats try to rein in AOC because she has earned the single letter monikers like RBG in a very short period of time.
I would also like to add a little bonus shout out to Mike Drucker, who's a writer on Samantha Bee, and he said, Rorschach makes sense considering they keep looking at AOC and seeing their own fears.
Well done.
Clapping, backing.
And on that, that's this week's episode. Sorry. It's a weird one. So per usual, you can find us on social at Sci-Fi Fangirls on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, leave us some love. 5 stars. Tell us something nice in the comments. Be positive. Or wherever else you listen to podcast. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Sharness.
You can find me on Twitter at Court Enlow and on Instagram at Courtney Enlow. And make sure to read Sci-Fi Fangirls this week and see our goat content. So many goats.
So many goats. And also make sure you pay attention because there's some big news being announced this week about our girl Preeti. And I'm so excited for everybody to find out.
We will definitely be talking about that next week.
Yes. So till then, speak like a girl.